Spirit Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today. And now, Pastor David Rodriguez.
But this is a season of Thanksgiving, and I know you guys will be at the end of the service preparing to come to the tree and put up your leaves with your Thanksgiving, and we're going to do that. But let's talk about Thanksgiving. And today I want to talk about a couple of expressions of a thankful heart. Now, I'm going to talk more about that next week, and we're going to talk about a few more expressions. But today I just want to cover two expressions of a thankful heart. Two expressions of a thankful heart. And of course, we're Thanksgiving. How many of you already said happy Thanksgiving to somebody? Well, you guys are way behind. I already done that like 10 times at Walmart, to the cashier, to the customer service, and to just keep saying, you know, happy Thanksgiving. I know it's a little early, and they go, you know, the lady that does the deli over at Walmart, she knows me already because I'm a deli kind of guy, right? And I went over there, and she doesn't even look at me, you know, like she knows they usually cut the first, and they come over and show it to you to make sure that's right. And she just goes, right? She doesn't even look back. And I'm like, right. And she keeps going. And she's like, I always remember you. I always remember you, how you like it cut. And I'm like, yeah, you know me. And I said, happy Thanksgiving. She's like, wow, that was early. You're the first one. And I'm like, I always love it when people say that. I love Thanksgiving. I love Christmas, especially when I get ahead of people and surprise them. They're like, wow. But, and then I said, and by the way, Merry Christmas, because to me, I've been listening to Christmas carols already all week. Have you? No one? Oh, thank you, Laura. Thank you for that feeling. You know, you got to build up to it. I've already been listening to Christmas songs like crazy in my time, in my office, in the car, at home, in my home office, in the shower. I wanted to leave that one for last so you could keep that impression. But Thanksgiving's coming up. And who's not hungry at Thanksgiving, right? Is there anybody who's not hungry at Thanksgiving? I know one who's not hungry at Thanksgiving. The turkey, right? Because he's already stuffed, right? You've heard that so many times. But we all get hungry, right? We all get hungry. And I read about a little Johnny. You know, he was asked to write something about, you know, something that he was thankful for Thanksgiving at school. You know, he comes home, and it was supposed to be titled, What I Am Thankful For on Thanksgiving. That was the title. And his mom said, well, go in your room and just finish your homework. He went in the room, and about 2 minutes later, he pops out. Done. And mama's like, wait. You just can't be done just like that. Hurry on upstairs. I'm going to your room, and I'm going to lock you up over there. She's like, but I'm done. She's like, yeah, let me read it. Well, she comes up, and he shows it to her. And he says, I am thankful I am no turkey. Right. Well, that's one thing to be thankful for, right? But there's another thing that I am thankful for, and especially on a day like this, and it's veterans of this country. We have a few here. Come on, stand up if you're a veteran. Now, you know, I'm not saying if you're a veteran because you're old, but because you have served. And if you notice, they all came in uniform. They just can't quit the habit. Guys, I really, 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 I'm thankful for you guys. I have made this my practice throughout the last few years. Yeah, me too. Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah. But let me tell you something. One of the things that I do every time I see somebody in uniform, I don't care if they're Air Force or Marine or Army, Coast Guard, or if they're Navy. What happened to my Marine here? He just kind of quietly, he's like, but every time I see somebody in uniform, also policemen, firemen, every time I see some of those people in uniform, I always thank them. Thank you for your service. And they really appreciate it. So remember that. Be thankful for your people in uniform. Even when you see a nurse in uniform, right? Go thank her. You never know when you're going to fall into their hands. So it's a good thing to be thankful, right? And it's okay to be thankful for so many things. Now, I'd like for one volunteer to stand up. I'm going to ask you a question. Thank you, Ashley. Thank you. Right there, I'm going to ask you a question. Everybody, this is Ashley. All right, yeah. Now, Ashley, let me ask you something. What if I told you, you know, or what if I just do it? I won't tell you. What if I gave you a brand new house? What would you do? Okay, but I've given you a new one. What do you do? Move in. Hey, that's a good one. Move in. What else? What else can you think you would do?
Decorate.
Decorate. Of course. It's Christmas. You know, getting a new house for Christmas. You decorate. What else?
Have a party.
Amen. Hallelujah. New house, right? House warming, house opening, open house, whatever you want to call it. Bring the gifts, bro. What else can you think you would do? You know me, I'm doing trick questions, right? But that's okay. I thank Ashley for putting herself up for this because she knows how tricky I could be, and you know too. But, you know, we're just asking some things. But thank you, Ashley. Those are some very good answers. But I want one more volunteer to stand up. No volunteers? I got one more question. All right. Well, thank you very much. Give us your name out loud. Huh? You know I'm blind. You know I'm deaf. Okay. Now, here's the thing. What if I gave you a brand new car? What would you say? Look at Jay. Jay's like, ah! Woo! It ain't for you, bro. But he's like, that's one thing off my list that I have to do in my lifetime, right? I gave you a brand new car. What do you do? Okay, so that's good. It's okay. But think about it. Even if you don't know how to drive, you get a brand new car. What do you do then? Well, you're welcome. What else did you do? Drive it. Well, you have to learn first. Right? You don't want to go driving without learning, but that's okay. You'll learn, you'll drive it, you'll thank me. What else would you do? You know what? In a way, your parents are okay with you not knowing because they'll take the key from you right that quick. That's a big reason to say, okay, since you don't know, you don't get it, right? Well, thank you very much. Now, think of the responses. Are there any of those responses that are incorrect? No. Are those responses that are expected? Of course. Because when you get something, when you get a gift, you want to enjoy it. Right? We're talking about decorating the house. We're talking about moving into it, not wasting time. We're talking about learning to drive and drive the car and everything. And, yeah, she included a word of thanks, which Ashley didn't. But that's okay. I know she was thankful, right? Yes, yes. You still are. It's still your house. But that's the thing. You see, we are thankful for stuff. And that's a good thing. It's okay to be thankful for stuff. It's okay to be thankful for circumstances. It is important that we express our thanks, you know, in a joyful way, in a humble way. And those are the two things I want to talk to you about. But you see, and I think of the many, many times that as a pastor, I am approached by people, whether by phone or in person, they come knocking at the door of the church, or because they tell somebody else to tell me, I need help. And usually is, I need to pay my utility bill of some kind, or my car broke down, or I need some food, or where can I get a job? Can I do some stuff at the church to make a little money? And you know what? And one of the things that I tell people is, through the years, I've learned this. And I always tell people before I help them, before I either give them an envelope or take them to the grocery store, or give them a bag with food, whatever it is, I always tell them, I want you to do something for me. And really, really, I'm going to tell you something that's going to determine whether I will keep on helping you or not. I want you to take advantage of the help that I'm giving you. But I don't want you to take advantage of the one giving you the help. Because you cut yourself off when you do that. So remember that. What I'm giving you, I want you to decorate it. I want you to move into it. I want you to enjoy it. I want you to throw that party. Am I invited? Thank you. You see, she was thinking of me. I want to drive a car. I want to be able to go places. But the person that gave it to me, maybe I should give them a ride once in a while. You see, all of a sudden we think about not just the stuff, but the person. You see, Ashley could have said, well, I will invite you and your family to come over and stay for the weekend. Right? Or she could have said, hey, I would take you to Disney World. I'd drive you all the way to Disney World or something, right? But you see, that's the thing. But being thankful not just for the things and the circumstances, but also for the people who put you in certain circumstances or give you certain stuff. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 8. I want us to look at this verse, and it says, but since we are of the day, that's not it. What did I do here? That's not it. I'm sorry. I think it's verse 18. I might have skipped a number or mistyped or something. Is it verse 18? If not, we'll just keep on going because I got some other stuff. In everything, there it is. Give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So we are told to be thankful, but I want you to notice there's always somebody responsible for your circumstances. There's always somebody responsible for the stuff that you get, whether it is yourself or somebody else, whether it is your parents or your pastor or your friend or just a sibling or grandma, grandpa, or God. Notice that he says, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. So be thankful for stuff. Be thankful for your circumstances. But your attitude of gratefulness needs to be directed to someone. It's always healthy to do that. To the person. In this case, it's directed to God. But he expects us then to be grateful. How? He expects us to be grateful to him and to people, not just God. God doesn't expect you to be thankful to him and forget people. But he wants you to be grateful to people too. And let's think about the two qualities or the two expressions of being thankful today. Two expressions. When you are truly thankful, that's an expression of, first of all, humility. How many of you agree with that? You see, when you are thankful, you need to be humble. If you're truly thankful from the heart, you will be humble. Now, not all people like to give. Did you know that? Not all people like to give, but all people like to get. I like to get. And for the most part, I like to give. Sometimes I don't like to give. Do you find yourself like me? Sometimes you just don't feel like giving or don't want to give or don't like giving for a season or to a certain person or something. I've felt like that. Sometimes I don't want to give so-and-so nothing. Have you ever felt no giving me no names? You don't need to stand up for this question, right? But then there's also people who don't deal well with the receiving. Have you ever met somebody like that? There's some people that don't like to get anything from anybody because it might project them as less fortunate. I don't like anybody to give me anything or do anything for me because then it makes me look like I am needy. It makes me look bad. You know what's getting in the way, right? P-R-I-D-E, that's right. Pride. See, pride says, oh, you're not going to make me look like that giving me something. Give it to somebody else who needs it. If I needed it something, don't worry about it. I can handle my own. Some people just don't deal well when they're given to. And how is it that pride gets in the way? Well, these are a lot of times people who give that they don't like receiving because their giving is sometimes out of compulsion, because they have to, because they are grudgingly giving, or for some reason they give for self-satisfaction. Some people give, and some people give abundantly, but the only reason they give, or the main reason why they give, is so they can satisfy something within them that said, I am a giver. I can give. Look at me. Whatever reason, right? And that happens to some people. I don't accept anything. You see, some of the people, but that's on the giving end. On the receiving end, the same pride that makes people that give out of compulsion and out of whatever reason to satisfy themselves, they hear voices. And that same voice is pride that they listen when they receive something and they say, well, don't accept anything because it makes you look bad. You don't need a handout. Don't take that. They're humiliating you. They're making you less. But you know, a truly thankful person, a truly thankful heart is never humiliated, but is humble. Right? There's a difference between feeling humiliated and being humbled. That's totally different. So I got a couple of questions that we need to ask ourselves. And the first one is, how can I show gratitude through humility? How can I show gratitude through humility? Accepting help, accepting support or gifts from others is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of appreciation. And it's a sign of humility. When you're willing to accept anything from others, it's a sign of humility. If you call yourself a believer, then there must be somewhere in your heart and in your mind this thought, this feeling that you do not have the power in and of yourself to save yourself from the condemnation of sin, right? You have become a believer and a Christian because the first thing that happens is the conviction in your heart that I'm a sinner with nothing in myself at all that can save myself. And you can come to the point in your life where you have to humble yourself in confessing your failures, confessing your shortcomings, in confessing how short you come to what God expects from you. Remember Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. Now, hold on one second. I don't think that the God is saying you fall short of being glorified like me. I think God is saying you're falling short from what I designed you to be, which makes me look glorified. See the difference there? God is not saying, you see, the reason why you're condemned and the reason why I have to condemn your sin is because you can't become like me, glorious. You fall short of my glory. No. I think what he's saying, you fall short of my glory because my glory is that you become all that I've designed you to become. All that I made you to be all that you can be. Army, once again, veterans around there, right? You're supposed to be all that you can be in Christ, right? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So you've come to the point, if you're a believer, and where you have humbled yourself in confessing your shortcomings and your failure. You have sinned and you know it. And you call yourself a believer, then you understand that you are constantly in need of his grace and mercy to make it every day in life. Now, one of my favorite verses of the Bible are 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 6 and 7. Where it says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time. Now, check it out, verse 7. Casting all your anxiety on him, because what? Because he cares for you. Now, first of all, it says, humble yourselves, because what? Under the mighty hand of God. Humble yourself because he's got a powerful hand. He is actually all powerful. Humble yourself because you cannot be lifted on your own. He will exalt you in due time. That lets me know I need to humble myself, because if I want to go up, the only way up is with his help. It's because he brings me up. But then it says, cast all of your anxiety, cast all of your cares, cast all of your worries, cast all of it on Jesus, because he cares for you. Now I want you to think about the word casting or throwing or giving. The same word that it's used here in 1 Peter chapter 5 when he says, cast all your anxiety, is the same word that is used in Luke chapter 22 in verse 19. When it talks about the people in Jerusalem, and when he had taken some bread and given it. No, that's not it. I'm sorry. I went to the wrong verse. But let me just tell it to you. I will go to that one later. Ah, my verses are all messed up today. Probably because I don't have my piece of wood to lay up on right now. But let me tell you something. When the people knew that they were singing in the streets, Hosanna, Hosanna, the king is coming. It was Jesus, right? And when they got the donkey for him to ride, the Bible says that the people were throwing what on the donkey? They were throwing all of that, all their coats and all of their, they were putting something. They were throwing it on a donkey. Why? Because they were fixing to put the donkey to work. They were fixing to just cast the weight on the donkey. So they were putting throws on them. They were casting them on the donkey. Now the same way, the same word Peter uses here says, let him take your weight. In this case, it's actually like Jesus is the one taking the same brunt as the donkey, taking all the weight of your sin. That's why Jesus said, come to me, all you who are what? Heavy laden and tired, and I will give you rest. Why? Because I will carry your weight. I will carry you. And you need to be thankful, and that should be humbling. Humility cannot express itself apart from gratefulness. Humility cannot express itself apart from gratefulness to God. What does a humble heart look like when it's blessed by others? That's the next question. Because we're talking about humility before God also, but what about when it's blessed by other people? What does a heart that is accepting, a heart that is grateful look like? It recognizes. It says, thank you. You know, once, I don't know about you, but, well, yeah, I should. It should be normal. When you're truly, 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 truly thankful, one of the feelings you get is that you want to what? You want to give back to the person. Oh, they did me that. Oh, if I give Ashley a house, she's like, oh, you gave me a house? I'm going to give you three houses now. Because you want to return the favor. I gave you a car, now you want to give me a big truck. No gratitude. I'm just kidding, right? But you think about it. When you're truly thankful, you feel like, oh, how do I pay back, right? But we're going to talk about that another day. I'm getting ahead of myself. But accepting what others do for you, recognizing it, just saying a simple thanks. That's the simplest way of saying and staying humble. Saying thank you, right? Because once again, you recognize that others have done for you what you cannot do for yourself, or what they simply wanted to do for yourself, even if you could. I could go, you can go buy yourself a car. Yes, you can. We just haven't described that car yet. How fancy it would be, or how clunky. But you could go buy yourself a car, but maybe somebody can give you something better than what you can afford, or maybe what you can get for yourself. That's God right there. That's what he does, and we humbly accept that. But sometimes people give us stuff that maybe we're able to afford for ourselves. But just because I can afford it for myself doesn't mean that when somebody else gives it to me, I don't see value in it. I should, right? So what does it look like when I am actually truly humble when I'm blessed by others? Whether it is something that I cannot get for myself or something that I simply in their hearts was born to give to me. Humility. That's one of the expressions of gratefulness or being thankful. Now let's look at the second one. Joy. 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 You see, we tend to make joy or, you know, a gratitude like a conditional event. Like when we attach the word when. When I am thankful or when I am joyful. When I become joyful. When I feel joy or things like that. And we rationalize it that way. Then, so when I am joyful, then I can be grateful. Have you ever heard people talk like that? How can I be grateful if there's only chaos in my life? Not until they experience some type of joy, then they can be thankful. When I finally make enough money, then I'll be joyful in my life. When all of the stress of my job improves, then I'll be joyful or happy. When my health improves, then I'll be joyful. When I'm not stretched in 10,000 directions by everybody, then I'll be grateful and joyful. When my children straighten up their lives, then I'll be joyful. When my spouse and I are in perfect unity, then I'll be joyful. You see, it seems like we have to put conditions behind the being joyful and all of that. But that's not how it works. I gave you a verse at the beginning of the thing. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4, which we didn't read, and I want to read it. Thank my God, says Paul. I thank my God always concerning you. You see, people. Why was he so thankful to people? For the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus. And if you keep reading that chapter, Paul is so thankful for the people because of what they've done and also because of what God has done in their lives. He is being thankful for them and to them all at the same time. It's amazing. You see, and that's where we need to be. That's how we get to experience joy and humility and thankfulness. But this is not just when something good happens, not just when it's the ideal situation, but we also need to be joyful in our afflictions. Isn't that what Paul says? And this is, you know, even Jesus said, in this world, you'll have trials, but do not what? Do not be discouraged, because I have conquered the world. So don't get discouraged. Be joyful. Be happy. Now, let's think about Luke chapter 22, verse 19 for a second, which is the verse that we put up there a while back. And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's hold on right here. You see where it says, given thanks, thanks, thanks. This is very important. We do that at meals. We do that at restaurants. We do it at the church. We do it at home, hopefully, and everywhere we're going to eat. And we say, thank you, Lord, for this meal. And amen, right? We thank God. Now, I want you to think of the words that Jesus used here, because that word, thanks, is the word that we know, Eucharist, Eucharistio, or Eucharisteo. It's Eucharist. And you've heard that word before, right? The Eucharist. What does it mean? Immediately when you think the Eucharist, what do you think? The bread and the wine, the celebration of the giving of the bread and the wine in church, right? And we relate that to that. But yet what the word Eucharist means is thanksgiving or thankful. It doesn't mean bread and wine. It doesn't mean handing out bread and wine. It doesn't mean it's a title for that event. No, it's the word thank you. And it actually, when you trace the root word of the word Eucharist, is charis, which is grace. Isn't that why we say, let's say grace? When we eat and stuff like that, and sometimes we just don't know where this stuff comes from. But you see, think about Jesus. He thanked. He gave. He said grace. Why? Because he knew that this bread and this wine were a gift from the Father. It was a gift. Therefore, he was thankful. There is thanksgiving, and there is also, I want you to think of the word Eucharist, because also the word Eucharist, which means thanks, if you trace it back to its roots, charis means grace. But if you go trace that back even further, deeper into the roots, kara means joy. So the word joy, the word grace, the word joy, the word thanks, it's like come from the same root. That's what I'm saying. You just can't be thankful and not express joy. I want you to see this in Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 10. Isaiah 61, 10. This is beautiful. I will rejoice greatly in the Lord. My soul will exalt in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has wrapped me with a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. Think about this. Rejoice greatly. He is rejoicing. His soul is just jumping. Wants to come out of his skin. Why? There are some things that he has received. There's some gifts here. And I want us to think about this. Now, I want us to think about that. But Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. I thank my God every time I remember you in my prayers. With what? With thanksgiving, with joy in every prayer. With joy in every prayer for you all. See, I am thankful when I remember you. I am thankful and I pray for you with joy. And if you keep reading in that chapter, the reason why Paul is so thankful is because of what the people in Philippi had done for him in participating in the work of the gospel and doing all the things that they did for him, caring for him. But we're going to talk about that in the next Sunday. But I want you to think that in both passages that I've given you, the expression of joy here comes from being thankful for something that you have received and for the person that from which or whom which you have received. So how joyful are you for the things you have received? So think about that question and then think about how do you express your joy to the people from which you received it from? How do you express the joy to them? We can see in these two that it's connected. Now, I have to admit that last night, after the Pelicans game, I didn't go to the game, but I watched it. We went to the stores to buy the last few knickknacks for our shoe boxes for the kids. We had bought some things, but I was still missing a couple things that I always like to put in those boxes, and I just couldn't send it without it. So we went to the store, and when we got to the store, which is the store everybody goes to, right? And I'm sitting there in the hall, through the aisle, and with the cart, going through the toys. And all of a sudden, I look up, and I see this Lego set. How many of you like Legos? I mean, you don't play with them anymore, but you still can like them, right? Legos are awesome. And I remember when I was a kid, you know what? I never had Legos in my life. My parents never gave me a set of Legos. You know why? Because I never asked for one. You know why? Because my neighbor had all of them in the whole wide world. And I just went out to his house and we put them together. We knock them out. We put them together. I mean, why did I want Legos? They had them all over the house. Why did I want Legos in my house? I had them right next door. And I had free access to that house like you didn't know. So I asked for other stuff. But when I saw the set of Legos, that's not the memory that came to mind. What came to mind was this trip that we just did to Colombia to visit family. We actually bought a medium-sized Lego set for one of our nephews. I think he's 4 or 5. he's a trip. You know, it's one of these kids that talks a lot. He's just weird. You know, his name is Jorman. He's like a big man. He acts like a big man, but he's just a little tiny thing. And we brought him some of those, you know, figures, action figures, superheroes, like Thor, because he likes Thor and stuff. And we thought that was going to be the toy. I figured when he opens that Thor, you know, Barbie size, like, you know, when he sees that Thor, he's going to go jumping for joy. And what do you do when you give people gifts? You observe them. Open it. I want to see your expression. I want to see if you really liked it or not. I want to see if you're going to. So I'm looking at the kid. I'm thinking he's going to go wild when he sees we gave him a Spider-Man, a Thor, and one more. There was three of them. I can't remember. They're Flash Gordon. I don't know. And he opened and was like, whoa, man, this is awesome. Look, my favorite Thor. And his dad's like, say thank you to Uncle David and you know, Aunt Nephi. He's like, thank you. But he was happy. And he was happy. And I was like, oh, he likes it. But I did not expect the expression I was fixing to see when he opened the Legos. Oh, my God. You see, the Legos had Thor, Flash Gordon, and Spider-Man, too. I made it. And when I do stuff like that, right? This kid started jumping. His eyes got all watery. Almost tears coming down his cheeks. Legos! Oh, my God! Woo! He started jumping on the chair. He came and gave me a hug. He gave Neve a hug. This is the first time I meet this kid, okay? And he's just going all over the place. Dad! Legos! Oh, my God! He's just going wild all over the house. I've never seen anybody be so thankful in my life, right? 2 days later, he shows up again at my mother-in-law's house with the Legos put together. And he brings his mom, which I've never met either. This is my mom. And I just wanted her to see you guys because you gave me these Legos. Like, see, I want her to meet you guys. Maybe he wanted more Legos, that's all. And I was getting so excited because this kid's, wow, so appreciative, so grateful. Maybe he just wanted more Legos, that's all. But I'm just going to not think about that. I mean, and then Nepha starts talking to them and stuff. And by the way, Nepha had mentioned, because he's learning some English. And Nepha said, why don't you come over and spend a summer with us? And then you can go to a summer camp with Valeria where she works. And you can learn English and you can spend the summer with us. And who knows, we might just make a trip to Disney World. So you can imagine this kid's face lit up like a 4th of July. He's just so happy. And he's just growing fond of us. And I'm thinking he just wants more Legos. But he was so kind. And he's like, Mom, remember I told you that they want to take me to the United States? And guess what? My mom says yes. She gives me permission. And I'm like, okay, so he does want me. But you know what? When I walked to that store last night and I saw the Legos, honestly, it gave me goosebumps. It made me feel like, wow. And I started looking down the aisle and I said, the biggest Lego set I can see. I'm going to bring it. I'm going to bring it next time. Oh, my God, I can't wait to go back to bring this. To see his face again. Now you tell me, don't you feel the same way when you give somebody a gift and they get all happy and crazy about it? Joy, because you're being grateful. I want you to think of that, because when you look at Isaiah 61:10, it's amazing. It's possibly that you've been shopping already for some clothes for this season. You haven't started yet? Wow, I don't know, but you guys are so behind. I know some of you already did some shopping. Don't give me that. You got something you order on Amazon or who knows, all these stores or whatever. thinking about, right? What you're going to wear and this and that. And you ought to be joyful for that kind of stuff because you're able to clothe yourself and abundantly get and eat and all this stuff. But I want you to look at Isaiah 61:10 to finish so that we can go. Because this is very important. Here the prophet is so thankful and he rejoices greatly in the Lord. And he exalts in God. You know, he just becomes overwhelming in his life because he says, you have clothed me with garments of salvation. Clothed me with garments of salvation. That's the first thing you need to be thankful for. Salvation of God. And then it says, because you have wrapped me with a robe of righteousness. Not that I am righteous, but the righteousness of Christ has been given to me as a right. You think about that. I've been given the right to be counted, not guilty. Not because I'm not guilty, but because he's not guilty. And that's been counted upon me. If you listen to a theologian, he'll say the word imputed. Righteousness is imputed. It's just placed upon you when you have believed in. There's nothing you can do about it. It's like, boom, it's forced into you. The righteousness of Christ. And then it says, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland. You know what a garland is? Right? Like a wreath, crown. Remember that in those days, the victor, the winner of a battle, was crowned with a garland type crown. Not with a golden crown, but victory. You know, and they did the same thing for bridegrooms. When they dressed them, they put a crown on them. And then, well, women, you don't stay behind because it says the bride adorns herself with her jewels, just like that. So God wants to crown you. He wants to adorn you. Isn't that what salvation does to us? It crowns us with a crown of victory. And then his justice, his righteousness adorns us in all of its splendor in Christ. That's why we need to let go of whatever we're clothing ourselves in with. Any pride, anything, so that we may be redressed, garmented with humility and joy in the salvation and in the righteousness of God. What a better way to be thankful to God than for all that he has done through Christ Jesus. And I want to finish with this. This morning, Ed was praying with me and for me before we came up here, as we usually do. And he said a word. God, I thank you for your truth because you are truth. And not only that, you stand on your word. What you say, you'll do. What you promise, you will do. And he said, I thank you for that. And when he said that, it just jumped in my heart. And I said, yeah, I'm thankful that God is faithful. I'm thankful that God is truthful. I'm thankful that God always, always fulfills his promises. But you know what? I'm not only thankful, I'm also fearful. Because it's very fearful to know that when God says something, he means it and he will do it. And when I look at myself, I said, whoa, I'm thankful, but I'm also fearful. Therefore, I need to clothe myself with humility and say, Lord, I need you. And I need to be joyful that whatever I need, he gives me. That's one great way to be thankful.
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart presented. A message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.